Hello and welcome to the second edition of the Double Minority Report. The gang's all here. We have Andrea, Denise, Kathleen, and I'm Brian. Back for the April edition. First of all, we just want to thank everyone who listened to our first episode.
Hi, Abigail.
Thanks, Abigail.
Abigail.
Love you.
For those of you who don't know who Abigail is, she's just a rock star. That's all you need to know. But in seriousness, I think it was streamed like over 50 times.
Downloaded
like over 40 times.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
So.
By mistake?
Yeah, exactly. 49 more times than we expected. So thanks to everyone who listened and put up with us and our very amateur first podcast. Apollo, our mascot, is still here. He's going to be a little quieter this time, we hope.
That is my dog, and his full name is Apollo Creed. He makes noises sometimes, just so you guys know.
So, yeah, just apologies for anything you hear. Also, we love to eat, so if you know anything about us, we love food. So this time is no exception. We ordered some Persian food from a restaurant called Cello & Company from Foodora. Shout out.
It
was delicious. We all had like kebabs, delicious eggplant, lots of rice and veggies.
Soup.
Yeah.
I want to barf because it was so good.
So good. And also want to let all the listeners know we now have a Twitter account.
Holla!
So follow us. I just changed our handle to make it easier.
Tweet us!
DMR_podcast.
Nice.
Is our handle. Because the other one just had a lot of letters in it.
Yeah, too much.
Alphabet
soup.
So, without further ado, we're going to get right into the April edition, starting with Kathleen.
Hi. Okay, so.
Hi, guys.
The Birth of a Nation trailer. If you don't know what The Birth of a Nation is, it is a new movie. It took Sundance by storm. Nate Parker is an actor. He is also the writer, director, and star of The Birth of a Nation. So he was in an amazing movie called Beyond the Lights. Starring Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who I freaking love. If you have not seen Beyond the Lights, please go see it. So Nate Parker was coming off of that movie, which was getting a lot of buzz. He decided to quit acting and start working on this movie, which is based on a slave rebellion in Virginia about a slave named Nat Turner, who became a preacher, a traveling preacher. And as he was traveling, he realized the scope of slavery and then decided to start a rebellion. It became like the bloodiest uprising in, I think, recorded in slave history. So it's a great story. I'm really excited for it. The trailer came out.
Looks fucking amazing.
It looks really, really great. It's really hard to watch. I could barely get through it. The backdrop of the trailer is Nina Simone's Strange Fruit, which is just the most heartbreaking song ever. But this, The Birth of a Nation has birthed this conversation about slave movies. And do we think that is about freaking time that the Academy or the Oscars and critics in Hollywood take note of black films that are not just about slavery? You know, people are saying that The Birth of a Nation is going to go on to Oscar glory and that it's going to finally stop the Oscar so white streak that happened last year. But to me, that is frustrating that only movies about slavery are the ones that get recognized by the Academy. Mm-hmm. I just think that I want to see diversity in films starring black actors and written and produced by black people. Not saying that these movies aren't there. They're trying to get made. They are made. But the ones that the Academy recognizes are slave movies. It's like, so I have to shout out Kara Brown at Jezebel. She wrote an amazing piece called I'm So Damn Tired of Slave Movies. Mm-hmm. And she just talks about the idea of brutality towards black people are the only films deemed important and good. And how this idea of a subservient black person is the only thing that gets rewarded. We've seen it time and time again with things that get recognized. And yeah, I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you guys tired of it?
So tired.
It's uh-huh. Just like, Kathleen wrote a great article about this on Lainey Gossip.
Shout out
to Lainey. And she points out this other article, which basically says black people always have to play exceptional characters, whereas you can have a movie like Joy, where it's about a white woman who makes a mop.
Yeah.
So where are the celebrated black roles about regular, everyday people?
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking, like, how did we move away from the age of someone like Denzel Washington, who was such a versatile actor who played so many... He wasn't pigeonholed as the slave or the comedy guy or whatever.
An Oscar for playing a slave and then for playing a crooked cop.
Yeah, yeah. Issues in that in itself. But, like, he has a very diverse range, and people celebrated him and respected him for that. And he still had the leverage to play the important characters like Malcolm X. And
which he wasn't recognized for, which is why he got Oscar.
The pity Oscar, yeah. So it's just like, how did we get away from that? Why is there no one like that today? Why is the industry not building anyone up like that today?
Yeah, I would say that maybe it's Michael B. Jordan at this point. Which, again, like, it brings us back to the Academy not recognizing things, because Creed was not recognized, and that was starring, obviously, Michael B. Jordan. It's you look at the films that are recognized that star white people, or that white actors get to play in. Like, I keep talking about Brooklyn. And, like, Brooklyn was just, like, a nice story about a white girl who moves and is homesick and, like, falls in love. And that's great. It was a nice story. I related to a lot of things in it. But that's universal. Like, why can't people of color be in stories like that?
It's almost, I feel like it's almost like when there are movies with black actors and actresses that divert from these dominant themes that we've discussed, they then get kind of casted as, like, the black movie, the black rom-com, and then like the whole cast is black, and then in itself it becomes
and the only people that see them, like, you know, the perception is that the only people that see them are black people.
On the flip side, just to raise the other side, like, are slave stories, like these movies that have these stories, are these not also great stories that deserve to be told, that we should? That should populate theaters on the other hand.
They are, but I think there needs to be a balance in terms of the recognition.
I think there needs to be, like, a complete tipping of the scales. So, like, while slave narratives might be important, and, like, I hear your point in terms of being sick of slave movies, like, especially you as a black woman or any, like, yeah, that's gotta be, like, you gotta be sick of seeing that. I do think it has value maybe for people who need to fucking understand history. And need to, like...
Which a lot of people.
But some people might go and see it and not see, like, how those themes are still present
and,
today.
And, like, let's not discount the fact that a lot of those movies with, you know, slave narratives, there is also, you know, will be like the white hero who helps.
Yeah, of course. Like in 12 Years a Slave.
White man's burden, like all that shit.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I mean, so someone tweeted me about, she was like, I had issues with your article. She's like, I liked it. Shout out me. But she's like, but I had issues with it because she's like, I grew up when Gone with the Wind was, like, the movie that everybody was obsessed with. And she's, like, this idea of, like, holding the antebellum South into this, like, beautiful and nostalgic time that everybody loved. Which is still a thing. People still, there's a freaking band called Lady Antebellum.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Blake Lively had a whole site that, like, did a thing directed at, like, the antebellum South and how it was such this great time. And so these stories need to be told, absolutely. Like, especially, bring it back to The Birth of a Nation, a story where, like, these slaves are not subservient, like, they are rising up and they're standing up for themselves. Like, this is a story that I can't believe it hasn't been told yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great story. But it's when you only see those stories. Right? Like, it's not like there's only movies about freaking Abraham Lincoln that white people get to go see and see themselves in. You know? Which is not even a good example because there's no equivalent to slavery, you know, for white history. But anyway.
I'm curious, what do you think about actors like Kevin Hart, who, like,
straddles,
he's like mainstream.
Yeah.
He is making movies that are for everyone. Everyone seems to like Kevin Hart movies. Is he subverting the system enough? Like, do you want to see more from him now that he's getting this platform?
Well, no. I don't think that, because I don't think everybody has to. I think that Kevin Hart is great. I'm happy for all of his success. I think he's hilarious. I think that he has stayed away from certain things to protect his success, which you can't get mad at because he's in a system.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, Kevin Hart, he's a comedian, and that is a lane that the white producers and the white movie-going public, same, like, talking about slave narratives, they're comfortable with black mm-hmm. men being funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're mm-hmm. comfortable with, like, when Hustle and Flow was big. Oh, they're comfortable with you being a rapper. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
there's certain, like, lanes that you're allowed to be in.
Yes.
You're allowed to be a black comedian.
For
Eddie
sure.
Murphy,
yeah.
Kevin Hart, whatever.
Yes.
The list goes on. Like,
yes.
But, you know, Concussion, I haven't seen it, but you said it was good.
I really enjoyed Concussion way more than freaking anyone else did. Watching Concussion, like, months after the Oscars made me angry. So it's like, this movie is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And better than freaking Brooklyn and...
And
Carol.
Joy.
Sorry.
And dumb.
And
yeah.
Joy.
I fell asleep during Carol, full disclosure.
Andrea liked it.
Oh, I love Carol. You didn't like it? I thought it was so beautiful.
It was beautifully shot, but I was just like, nothing's happening. And
oh,
it was a long week,
oh,
and
I
just, like,
it.
Fell asleep.
It was a long week,
yeah.
Guys.
And,
oh,
and my partner Dallas was like, oh, I love that movie. And I was like, so what happened after this? And he thought I was talking about a scene that was just, like, 5 minutes before. I was like, no, the first time that happened, he's like, oh, you missed, like, half an hour. I was like, sorry.
I fell asleep during The Big Short, so fuck the
oh,
Oscars.
Me too. I fell asleep during
Big Short,
too.
Yeah.
I actually didn't mind The Big Short. But yes. Anyway,
so yeah,
so
white
I
people,
think...
we're, what's going on there?
Why are your movies so boring?
No, guys, Carol was really... Carol,
I'm going to stand up for The Big Short, too, because I really liked it. And I also really like Brooklyn. Like, I feel like I'm hating on it. I just think it was like it wasn't deserving of the things that got shut out. It was like, yo, this girl just like moves and like...
Yeah.
That's it.
So this next story we're going to talk about, Scarlett Johansson facing a lot of controversy over her casting in, over her being cast in a live action adaptation of Ghost in the Shell. So this is based off anime of the same name. People upset that, you know, there wasn't an Asian actress, specifically a Japanese actress, being cast for the role instead. I mean, I'm of various minds of this. To be honest, like... The character in this movie is a cyborg, so it's not as if it's a Japanese character, per se. If you look further into the story, Ghost in the Shell, it is a very Japanese story.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in Japan. It, you know, has a lot of technology in it. It came out at a time when Japan was having this big technological boom.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, for sure, like, intrinsically Japanese in that way. She's a cyborg, so people are saying that it's not a big deal. It's not like she was supposed to portray, like, a Japanese woman exactly. And from what I've read, a lot of fans of the manga aren't that upset anyway. I mean, part of that, I think, is because people just aren't surprised by this anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
you hear,
mm-hmm.
you feel like you hear about this all the time, and I wasn't surprised by it either, especially, you know, it's a huge movie, so...
I think Scarlett Johansson and like Emma Watson and all these
mm-hmm.
people who are cast in totally whitewashing a role.
Emma Stone.
Yeah. Sorry, that's how much I care. but they need to take some type of responsibility for this. Like, you're an actor, you're supposed to be doing like stupid research into your character. There should be a red flag that goes up when you're reading the script and be like, hey, maybe this isn't for me. Like, I'm sorry, you, especially when you're at that level, you have already made so much money. You have a certain level of social responsibility where you have to be like, no, this isn't for me. Maybe you guys should consider somebody that's actually part of this culture. Like, I feel like a lot of the heat is going towards the producers of this film, who supposedly were going to, like, use some type of graphics or some type of manipulation
yeah,
to make her look more Asian.
That came up. I don't think that was confirmed, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you, Denise Ray, made a really good point earlier that she read in a different article that anime in itself or manga is often accused as being whitewashed anyway. And, you know, the example we always fall back to is Sailor Moon. Like, Sailor Moon was blonde. Like, but I also feel like, not that I'm defending these decisions exactly, but I also feel like the world of anime, the world of manga, these are kind of... there's like a sci-fi element to them, so they're not exactly realistic. And then it kind of goes back to what we've discussed about how you can kind of be post-racial in a way, only in a kind of sci-fi futuristic element where race isn't a big deal.
But I will say that when you look at the actresses like Ming-Na Wen, who's on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and voiced Mulan, she's like a very well-known Asian-American actress. She has spoken out about this because I feel like as I am not Asian-American or Asian-Canadian, but if I was and I was an actress, I would be pissed because there are so many times, especially in Hollywood, that they're like, oh, this role wasn't written for someone like you, so it has to go to a Scarlett Johansson. And then when a role like this, which is maybe based in sci-fi and not specifically written for any race, but is set in Japan and is very much like a role that could absolutely, logically, audiences would be like, yeah, that makes complete sense for an Asian American actress, and then it doesn't go to one of them, it's just... like, then what? Why? Yeah. Like, you can't have all the things, white people.
I mean...
all the things.
I mean, agreed. I guess, and, like, I don't agree with this necessarily, but I guess this is the question that all of this always comes down to, is there a responsibility for these filmmakers, for these actors and actresses to have a kind of social conscience? Like, in a way...
Yes.
In a way, though, from, like, a business perspective, if you wanted to make a movie that would make all the money... you would cast Scarlett Johansson and not some unknown
actress. But how many people are in China?
But it's, well, okay, here's...
how many people and they try to cater in South Korea?
Well, here's the next thing. It kind of becomes like this self-feeding beast in a way because, you know, we just talked about the story you were talking about, Kathleen. What was that movie called? Birth of a Nation. So it was what we were talking about before, how if you're an Asian celebrity, it makes so much more sense in a way for you to go to Asia and become a huge star. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a whole Asian star system in Asia, whereas, you know, we don't have that for, like...
for anyone.
For black actors and actresses in North America, because...
Because slavery.
Exactly. So there just aren't a lot of well-known Asian... actors and actresses, maybe because of that.
But it also, it goes back to, so for The Gods of Egypt, does anyone remember that whole controversy?
Was that Ridley Scott?
And then Ridley Scott said, I can't just go and cast Muhammad so-and-so from such and such, or whatever he said. And it's just like, I think if you look at the actual box office breakdown, which I do not have the numbers right now. I don't have the actual box office numbers. But I don't know if it's actually true that celebrities, that the star system works the same way as it used to. It's not like Tom Cruise can just come out with any freaking movie and people are going to go see it. It's not like the star system works like that anymore. It's more about studios. This is why studios are making so many superhero movies. This is why studios are making The Hunger Games and all of these movies based on books and based on anime and all that because they want something that already has a fan base. So it's more about the content and the film and the franchise that it comes from as opposed to the actors. So I feel like we're actually in a time where there should be a freedom to cast...
or lesser known,
diverse actors and actresses, and the studio shouldn't have to worry about money because that's not what's making money right now. When Jennifer Lawrence was killing it with The Hunger Games, she wasn't Jennifer Lawrence yet.
Yeah.
And to your point about sci-fi being a realm where they can cast whoever they want... that should really work in one direction.
Right.
And the direction is like, because sci-fi, then you should be able to cast diverse actors. Not the other way around. Like, hey, it's sci-fi. Let us cast more white actors. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing with sci-fi movies where it's like, people won't bat an eye
when
you see a blue person walking across the screen. Right. But if you cast like a black Captain Kirk, people will lose their mind.
Shit. Or John Boyega, for instance.
For Star Wars, that's
people are like, what? A stormtrooper can't be black? Yeah. And it's like, did you not see the fucking boom, da boom, ba doo, walking up the street?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like to your point on Ridley Scott and Gods of Egypt, recently the screenwriter, I'm thinking for Ghost of the Shell, Max Landis, he posted a YouTube video basically saying the same thing, that like in the last 15 years, the star system has changed. There's no big stars. And he says there's probably only five actresses who are big enough, Scarlett Johansson being one of them, to get something greenlit and for it to make a shitload of money. But I just find it sad that, like, in this... I was... Like, you were talking about the manga fans. They were kind of, like, resigned to the fact that... I just find it sad that it's gotten to that point where they expect a white person to be cast in this Hollywood remake.
And there is a sentiment where it's like, well, you know, at least it's something. Like, at least this kind of Japanese franchise is getting some mainstream attention. Like, better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a very prominent feeling, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. For Hollywood, I don't know why they keep wanting to pull these stories from these different backgrounds and cultures if they're just going to strip away what makes it unique.
What?
Yes.
What I'm curious about...
Yes, Brian.
What I'm curious about, I kind of skimmed the IMDb before coming here. I'm curious about what the backgrounds are of the other actors and actresses in this movie. Mm-hmm. Because if... what I saw was kind of a combination of... Eurocentric names and Japanese names, because if it then becomes like ScarJo and her like Japanese supporting cast,
then that's
another problem. That reminds me of, you know, like
Gwen Stefani,
or like every Disney movie where Aladdin has a being voiced by a white actor, and everyone else has like an accent in it.
But then it's like, if it's all white people, are we going to be?
I don't know. Outrage either way.
Yes.
Outrage guaranteed.
Sorry, is ScarJo like really that special? Like, what's the last big movie she put out?
I do like ScarJo.
I like Scarlett
Johansson. Yeah, but is she like bank like that? I don't think so.
So I love Lucy.
I love Lucy, and
like
I love
a great movie.
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin is a great
movie.
Right, but
these
movie.
Are
I
like her.
These are like small
roles.
Indie movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like so. Why
but
are we
they
talking
made a
about...
lot of money. So maybe Scarlett Johansson like.
Yeah.
To
she did. She did, with Lucy. I think I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure there was a record that she held the top box office for the first time in a female-led story that wasn't based on a franchise or existing book.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I think that's where her clout comes
and
from.
And her voice, she voices Ka the Snake in The Jungle Book, and it's really fucking good.
But
terrifying.
Part of the reason why, like, she and other actresses like Jennifer Lawrence or whatever hold these places in terms of box office standings is because they are given those opportunities.
Absolutely.
Like,
sure.
So
because they're blonde and hot.
If that's like the production, the studio's excuse for giving the roles to these people, well, yeah, that's your excuse
because
you're
because you're
the
ones.
Yeah.
Yes. They're
like,
the ones
you are,
who made them to begin with.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. Hamilton is a big musical in New York that none of us have seen, but
I know the entire soundtrack.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, I'm done.
She just said whore. they are being accused of discrimination for putting out a casting call that called for non-white actors. And people are not happy about it, specifically white actors, of course, on the Great White Way of Broadway. Apparently, they reposted the casting notice, this time putting non-white in small letters instead of capitals, and then put a disclaimer at the end being like, but anybody can show up and we'll consider you, which is really sad that they had to apologize for that. In HuffPost, someone was talking about how, in terms of a legal issue, like, it's all about semantics, so that what they should have done is asked for, is, like, put out specifically who they were looking for, so, like, Black, Latino, Asian actors instead of who they weren't looking for, which was white people. So how do we feel about this? Do we think this is reverse racism? It doesn't exist.
I think we all agree on this one.
Yeah, reverse racism doesn't exist.
I think it's
rich that, like, the white people are up in arms about this when this is what they've been doing to everybody since the beginning of theater. Yeah.
The fact that Hamilton... Okay, first of all, I'm obsessed with Hamilton, and, like, before I die, I'm going to go to Broadway and see fucking Hamilton. I have to wait outside and sell my left arm. But the point, like, the fact that Alexander Hamilton did not look like Lin-Manuel, and he is playing Alexander Hamilton, is the freaking point of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. It is basically all hip-hop, this Broadway show is. The fact that there are people of color who are in all of the main roles in Hamilton is the freaking point. If you look at the rest of Broadway, Les Mis, The Book of Mormon, Phantom of the Opera, all of those shows who have just as much success as Hamilton, who have all the attention, those are all predominantly white casts mm-hmm. in those Broadway shows. So the fact that Hamilton is like the one, it's the one that is starring people of color, and people are so upset, like the white actors
are like... And it's successful.
And it's,
uh-huh. it's not off-Broadway.
And that's probably the problem, right? Uh-huh. They're like, well, it's the biggest show on Broadway and we don't get to be in it. Well, too freaking bad.
Mm-hmm. It's like people can't believe it.
That everything it's... else, mm-hmm. you know?
And that's what I love about this musical is that it's subverting all the roles and casting people of color in these historical white roles, mm-hmm. which is funny because when you flip it around, there's no problems casting Scarlett Johansson
for sure.
as mm-hmm. in an Asian movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like you flip it around and then everyone loses their shit.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do you remember when there was a BuzzFeed put out a job posting a little while ago calling for non-white, non-male writers? Uh-huh. And the woman who put out that tweet, she got trolled off of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
She's back on now, but I mean...
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It's just because it's the fear, right? It's the fear of, like, to take it really far, that these white people have had the position of they could do whatever they wanted and mm-hmm. have all these opportunities, and when they feel like that is being threatened, they freak out and say, no, we should have this too. But it's like, no, it's just we're just trying to even the playing field at this point. Like, it's not even. Hamilton is the one show. One.
I just feel like that people don't understand even the meaning of racism. Like, to mm-hmm. suggest something like reverse racism mm-hmm. exists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you don't know about, like, blind privilege and opportunities mm-hmm. you get
yes.
based on that sort of thing. But
and this type of casting, like, that legality part where they said he should have just asked for what he was looking for instead of what he wasn't looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that has been happening on Broadway and mm-hmm. throughout the movie industry forever, right? Like, people will mm-hmm. be like, looking for white actors, looking for white male, looking for white female, whatever.
Yeah.
So that, like, whole semantics bullshit is not going to get you far in this discussion. Like, this has already been happening. Oh, this hurts for you to feel it? Sorry, like, get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a hip-hop musical. Can you imagine
going
to a musical and it's all white people doing hip-hop? That would
not
be cute.
Stay at home, Eminem. But actually, that's interesting because I've had discussions with people about this. Kathleen's jamming out, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's it. But like, that person's not white. Just so you know.
I've had discussions with people about this musical, though, that even Lin-Manuel Miranda is like a bit of an issue too.
Why?
Because, like, hip-hop, while Latinos have a place in it, like, we do have a place in it, it is obviously, like, a black musical genre for the most part, right? Like, there's not really any big Latino rappers. Like, yes, breakdancers, yes, graffiti artists, yes, okay, whatever. We're part of the culture, but it's not to the same degree. So the fact that even Hamilton needed to, was created by him instead of somebody who was black, and maybe that's what's making it see success, is also something to be considered.
I mean, it's interesting that you brought that up, and I appreciate it. But I, as a black person, disagree. I mean, if you look at the cast, there are so many black performers in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And Lin-Manuel also did In the Heights, which I was
mm-hmm.
fortunate enough to see on Broadway. and it was unreal. And I think he In the Heights was set in New York in like his, I believe, I could be wrong, in like his, based in his neighborhood that he grew up in, that very much had like hip hop influences, and that was what he grew up around and was influenced by. So I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the examples where all the minorities need to rally together. Because he's been able to create opportunities for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of tearing him down and being critical, like, while that's valid, and it's valid to point it out, I don't think we should tear him down. We should all rally and support.
Yeah.
Because with the success of this, hopefully the people with the money who greenlight these Broadway shows or who are going to adapt this into the eventual movie will cast
the
it...
movie!
So will excited. Cast it appropriately and
right.
not... And pay attention that people will pay to see stories of people starring people of color.
There is Jonathan Groff, I believe his name is in Hamilton, and he's a white dude. But other than his character, which I have not seen it, so I don't exactly know who he plays. But if there are any other white people in the freaking Hamilton movie, I don't know what I'll do. I just picked up my glass of wine really angrily.
So I don't think it's about other actors of color like tearing him down. I think it's about like understanding how the powers that be see who is
mm-hmm.
packaging
mm-hmm.
things for them
mm-hmm.
and that they might accept something from somebody who's a little easier for them to digest.
Right.
Mm, that's
than
right.
a black
right.
playwright or like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's about like other people of color to tear him down.
Uh-huh.
It's like the white people in power and the people who are enjoying this musical so much need to examine why exactly that is and if they would still accept that if it were somebody darker than Lin-Manuel
mm-hmm.
Miranda, right? I'm just saying. It's, anyways,
it's a, no, it's
there's
a
no safe
point.
Space for white people. You gotta always examine your shit.
Yes, examining is absolutely good. That's a valid point. But I love Hamilton.
So shout out to me.
So much.
All right, so what I want to talk about was the hashtag that started a few weeks ago, hashtag gay media so white. This originated when a singer-songwriter named Jesse St. John, who sadly I don't know any of his music, he tweeted that gay media needs to reevaluate their content when major corporations and ad campaigns they're covering are more progressive than they are, which popular queer rapper Miko Blanco retweeted, picked up on it, and he added that if gay media in 2016 are all... He wonders if gay media in 2016 are all embarrassed when you go to their websites and it's only shirtless white guys that you see. So this hashtag started trending. It really resonated with a lot of people, especially gay people of color, because it's very true. And it highlighted how magazines like Attitude Magazine, they tend to feature white models. Straight actors will get a cover
mm-hmm.
over people
mm-hmm.
of color.
Mm-hmm.
It just really struck a chord with me because it made me think of my experience coming out as a person of color. And then I came out when I was like 20, 21. It was just very strange because at the time in pop culture, my examples of gay people in media was
mm-hmm.
Queer as Folk
mm-hmm.
and Will and Grace,
mm-hmm.
which was all white.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really kind of fucks with your head when you're going to like the gay bar
mm-hmm.
to pick up and get your groove on or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just in the back of your mind, you're like thinking like, they're not wanting someone
mm-hmm.
who looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this weird thing where you feel slightly less desirable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that I was like, saw boohoo or whatever.
By the way, Brian's
like,
hella hot. So.
Literally
hot,
about
yeah.
to say that.
Yeah.
Brian is smoking hot.
Thanks, guys.
We're not buying your bullshit.
So, my plan worked. Just joking. Anyway, so it got me thinking about that, and it just resonated a lot with me, because
mm-hmm.
then, obviously, as you're coming out, and you're looking for, like, places to fit in and like
sure.
examples of what in the media of what you see and like all the magazines you're buying and all the ads you're seeing, it's all
for sure
white people
and nothing
even like
you.
Even like not to get graphic, the porn you watch,
mm-hmm.
it's
sure.
all white people.
Mm-hmm.
It has been getting better over the years, but
uh-huh.
the people of color are still who are gay on TV or in movies, they're still stereotyped
mm-hmm.
or they're feminized.
Mm-hmm.
An example is Lafayette, who in True Blood,
mm-hmm.
Who's a great actor, and I love that character in that show.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the sassy black guy
mm-hmm.
who wore fake eyelashes
mm-hmm.
and head wraps. You know,
right.
It's interesting because the gay community is kind of like this microcosm of all the issues we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
but everything's like amplified.
Mm-hmm.
So especially on like. I haven't really had to deal with this because I've been in a happily long-term relationship for 5 years. So, but like on dating apps,
mm-hmm.
they'll blatantly say like, white guys only,
yeah,
or no Asians, mm-hmm, or whatever. So, yeah, how can we call ourselves progressive when we have these kinds of attitudes within our subculture?
Mm-hmm. I think there's... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think, like, a lot of times in quote-unquote, like, oppressed groups, so, like, let's say, like, in the feminist movement, that people just do not understand, like, intersectionality at all. Like,
sure,
people, like, white gay media or, like, some white gay people might be like, it's, I understand, like, what black people feel like. No. No, you don't. A black gay person would understand what black people feel like. No. It's not the same. Like,
mm-hmm,
oppression is oppression, but there's different layers to that. So, this whole idea that, like, feeling like you're progressive but not at all reflecting the people who are oppressed within your already oppressed group is not going to do anybody any favors. It's not going to do, like, the larger LGBTQ community any favors either. And even within that, like, I know there's different levels and shades of, like transphobia even within the LGBT community, right?
Yeah.
So it's, like, just because you are part of an oppressed group doesn't mean...
For sure.
You understand everything, and nor should you have to, like, everyone's trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But to expect that from a group is a lot. But those that are in power, so the white gay media, they need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to, like, lead. If they are going to be the ones in power, they need to, like, examine, lead, think, and reflect as best as possible. And when you're in power, most people don't want to reflect anything but themselves.
I also feel like this is such a good example of this idea of having a model minority, that it's almost like,
yes,
you know, we are now accepting of gay culture because they can be so similar to what we consider to be normal and successful. And I think that's where whiteness comes in, is that we can only accept you the more you can be like what we consider to be normal. And I think that, you know, I think that this can be maybe compared to, like, Asian culture. Like, a lot of people see Asians as being, like, the model minority because economically they do so well. So I think a lot of times this boils down to class, too,
mm-hmm,
about the economics. It's, like, the norm, the,
mm-hmm,
the power at B, I guess you can say, can accept gay culture because it's perceived to be an economically successful minority group. Like, we'll still make fun of you,
mm-hmm,
and you'll still be the butt of a lot of jokes, but there is a market there. Like,
mm-hmm,
there is economic power there, and therefore you can have a little
Which
bit
was probably the thinking behind that Stonewall movie that came out,
God,
I think, late,
yeah,
last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the director's name, Roland something. He directs all those disaster movies. I don't know why he wanted to direct this movie. It
mm-hmm
was a disaster, that's why. So it's based on the Stonewall riots, which historically were started by the black trans community throwing the first bricks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In his retelling of it, he creates this fictional white Abercrombie-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's the one who throws the first brick and starts the riots. All of this outcry came out, and thankfully the movie flopped and, like, disappeared or whatever. So it's probably tying into that thinking of what you just said, Andrew.
Yeah, and it's like that there's a tier system, right? And so it's like, once, like Andrew was just saying, once a group gets accepted, the people in power want to see whoever that
mm-hmm
looks
mm-hmm
kind of the
yeah
most like them as the first people through the front line. So,
mm-hmm,
like, going back to Denise's point about feminism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, white women are going to be the first people who see the success and the
mm-hmm
the equality that comes with gender equality. And then women of color will maybe follow suit after that. And I think it's happening the same way in the gay community, where it's
mm-hmm
like, there's this tier. It'll be, like, white gay men first, and then maybe the rest of, like,
and
people of color in the gay community.
And it's because it's people are seeing that, like, there's money to be made in the gay community. Like, there's money to be made marketing to successful gay men who fit
mm-hmm
a stereotype. And so, okay, we'll accept you. And
yeah
we'll
And
include.
Then to bring this back full circle to Kathleen's topic
mm-hmm
about how Hollywood only
mm-hmm
celebrates black roles when
yep
they're in subservient roles. One guy in this gay media so white hashtag, he tweeted, when people of color are mentioned, it's usually about STIs, tragedy,
mm-hmm
or homophobia,
mm-hmm
which is
mm-hmm
very true.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they're victimized and then they have a really sad story, and then they can be in the spotlight. They can't be the just hero championing the cause. Yeah.
You are just fucking...
Just living.
Just living. Let us live. What's our last thing we're going to do, Bri?
Our last thing is our favorite thing. When we tell some asshole to hashtag
sit the fuck down.
This time, we're telling Gene Simmons to take a fucking seat. So, backstory, he's the bassist from Kiss. Like, who the fuck cares about Kiss anymore?
So irrelevant.
NWA, love them. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recently. And he took issue with that. Basically making statements that he's looking forward to the death of rap.
Yo, fuck him.
Ice Cube, who we all know, and he was in NWA, he stated after the induction that he had a very classy response. I really loved his response. He said, rock and roll is not an instrument. It's not even a style of music. It's a spirit that's been going on since the blues, jazz, bebop, soul, rock,
created
R&B,
by black people.
Yes.
Metal, punk rock, and yes, hip hop. Rock and roll is not conforming to the people who came before you, but creating your own path in music and life. That is rock and roll, and that is us. Gene kept on going, tweeting, saying respectfully, let me know when, at Jimi Hendrix, like, is Jimi Hendrix checking Twitter in heaven? Let me know when at Jimi Hendrix gets to the Hip Hop Hall of Fame, then you'll have a point.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
It's just like,
no.
Just hearing this, the shades, the undertones of racism.
Oh my God.
Because it's just like,
there's no
undertone.
Like
we all just said,
it's an overtone.
Yeah. First of all, like we all said, all popular music has roots in black culture, including rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like even country, okay?
Yeah. Every music.
Yeah.
And then, where was the outcry when the Beastie Boys were inducted in
2012?
Right. They're white guys. They're doing hip hop.
Yeah.
I don't recall anyone being upset. Or people like Donna Summer or Madonna who were inducted, and they don't even do rock. They do disco and pop. So...
And it's when you look at what NWA did for the genre and for, like, just the conversation at the time of, like, NWA actually was, like, so freaking rock and roll when they came out. Like, they were just being...
They were hard.
Unequivocally themselves. And they did it in a way that kind of gave other artists permission to be, like, they didn't have publicists. NWA said some shit that, like, I... do not agree with, that was fucked up, but they were just being themselves, and they were a product of their environment, and they were just literally saying, this is what Compton made us, and this is who we are, and this is a reflection of ourselves, and so many other artists after that have done the same thing and called it rock and roll, like, oh, we're so rock and roll, we're so ourselves, we're so punk rock, whatever. It's like, that was NWA. And, like, Gene Simmons just, like, it just sounds like he sounds like an old white guy. Bringing it back to the antebellum South, who's like, oh, I miss the good old days when,
when we took this from you and we were the only ones getting awards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You go back to the good old days, Gene Simmons.
Yeah, and if he wants to, not that he should, just shut up. But if somebody else wants to criticize people who are being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, no matter what genre they're from, like, criticize them on real shit. Like, criticize NWA on their misogyny. You know what I'm saying? Don't criticize them on, like, whether or not they're allowed into your fucking white club, you asshole. Because, like you already said, you know, like, you already took this from them, and now you want shit packaged for your whiteness? No. Stop, Gene Simmons. Fucking get your hair fixed.
And it's like rock and roll music. Rock and roll music is dying now. Like, nobody listens to straight up rock music anymore.
What is straight up rock? Shut up.
Like what, Nickelback?
Ew, yes.
Nobody listens to that anymore.
Yeah, you look at the Black Keys or Mumford and Sons and whatever those bands are that are popular right now that people are saying are quote unquote.
But they're not popular right now, even.
Yeah, so they're not even as popular, but they have such connections to blues. Like,
right.
Like, that music is so black.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, in 10 years, like, people getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's not going to be, like, it's not going to make the old white people happy.
No, it's never going to make, because people don't like to see themselves lose power. That's the fucking problem.
I feel like it's so unfortunate that this happened on social media too, because it like became such clickbait and so many people.
And that's what people were talking about, are not like Kendrick Lamar gave an incredible speech introducing NWA. Ice Cube, the rest of the speech was incredible. MC Ren gave a great speech. Mm-hmm. All of them. Dre gave a speech. Like, it's all great. It was all great. Everyone should be looking at the actual coverage of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and talking about NWA's legacy. And I'm okay if we talk about the bad shit of NWA's legacy. But let's talk about their legacy and let's talk about their music instead of Gene fucking Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Janet and how she got slighted and she should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. Some bullshit.
Yeah, she didn't even get nominated. Yeah. Denise is a stan Janet. For Janet.
Major stan. I'm breaking out choreo right now.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, so that's it for the April edition of the Dublin Nerdy Report.
And we out! Yeah. Apollo Burke. Nope.
Not yet.
He's not doing it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, Abigail!
Bye, Abigail!
Bye, Abigail!